కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారి జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారి యశోదనందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యశోదనందన బ్రజ జనరంజన జమునా తీరవన చారి తీరవనచారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారి యశోదనందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యశోదనందన బ్రజ జనరంజన జమునా తీరవనచారి తీరవనచారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారి యశోదనందన బ్రజ జనరంజన యశోదనందన బ్రజ జనరంజన జమునా తీరవనచారి తీరవనచారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారి జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస పర్వజకాచార్య అస్తోత్ర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతాం కీ జయ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శిషి గురు అండ్ గౌరంగ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సో this morning we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text number 26. Patalam etasya hi padamulam.
Patalam etasya hi padamulam.
Patanti parshni prapadera satalam.
Patanti parshni prapadera satalam.
Mahatalam vishva srijota gulthau.
Mahatalam vishva srijota gulthau.
Talatalam vai purushasya janghe. Patalam etasya hi padamulam.
Patalam etasya hi padamulam.
Patanti parshni prapadera satalam.
Patanti parshni prapadera satalam.
Mahatalam vishva srijota gulthau.
Mahatalam vishva srijota gulthau.
Talatalam vai purushasya janghe.
Talatalam vai purushasya janghe.
Please chant. Patalam, the planets at the bottom of the universe. Etasya, of his, he, exactly. Padamulam, soles of the feet. Patanti, they study it. Parshni, the heels. Prapade, the toes. Rasatalam, the planets named Rasatala. Mahatalam, the planets named Mahatala. Vishva Sujha, of the creator of the universe. Atha, thus. Gulpau, the ankle. Talatalam, the planets named Talatala. Vai, as they are. Purushasya, of the gigantic person. Jange, the shanks. Translation Prabhupada, Bhashya Prabhupada. Persons who have realized it, that is the Virat Rupa, persons who have realized it have studied that the planets known as Patala constitute the bottoms of the feet of the Universal Lord, and the heels and the toes are the Rasatala planets, the ankles are the Mahatala planets, and his shanks constitute the Talatala planets. Outside the bodily existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the manifested cosmic existence has no reality. Everything and anything of the manifested world rests on him, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.4. But that does not imply that everything and anything in the vision of a materialist is a Supreme Personality. The conception of the universal form of the Lord gives a chance to the materialist to think of the Supreme Lord. But materialist must know for certain that his visualization of the world in a spirit of lording it over is not God-realization. The materialistic view of exploitation of material resources is occasioned by the illusion of the external energy of the Lord. And as such, if anyone wants to realize the Supreme Truth by conceiving of the universal form of the Lord, he must cultivate the service attitude. Unless the service attitude is revived, the conception of Virat realization will have very little effect on the seer. The transcendental Lord, in any conception of his form, is never a part of the material creation. He keeps his identity as the Supreme Spirit in all circumstances and is never affected by three material qualities, for everything material is contaminated. The Lord always exists by his internal energy. The universe is divided into 14 planetary systems. 7 planetary systems called Bhu, Dhuvar, Swar, Mahar, Janas, Tapas, Satya, and are the upward planetary systems, one above the other. There are also 7 planetary systems downwards, known as Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Mahatala, Rasatala, and Patala, gradually one below the other. In this verse, the description begins from the bottom because it is in the line of devotion that the Lord's bodily description should begin from his feet. Shukadev Goswami is a recognized devotee of the Lord, and he is exactly correct in the description. Jai. Nama Om Shukadaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutalishya Mathe Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kinnane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpataribhascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhya Vaishnavibhya Namo Namaha. So just to recap, we always forget, at least we have Bhagavatam reading every day, but this was last week. I know when we read our Bihar Bhagavatam meter reading once a week, it's like, okay, what were we reading? So here, Maharaj Parikshit asked, please describe in full detail. So he's asking Shukadeva Goswami to describe in full detail. And that's why Shukadeva Goswami is doing so. And what is he asking? Where the mind has to be applied and how the conception can be fixed so that dirty things in a person's mind can be removed. So that is what Shukadeva Goswami is responding to that. And so when Shukadeva Goswami started responding, he talked about one should control the sitting posture and breathing process by yogic pranayam. So we heard that Sandipani Punipur would give class on that. Yama, niyama, etc., dharana. And so he's starting off that what one's posture should be. And then he describes a little bit about the gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material world as a whole, is the personal body of the Absolute Truth. So he's talking about what it is. And then in the next verse he said, Nagashwam gave class on this one, the gigantic universal form of the personality of Godhead within the body of the universal shell, which is covered by sevenfold material elements, is the subject for the Virat conception. So he has talked about what is the Virat conception, and now he's telling in detail how to meditate. Everybody is ready? Sitting posture. You get to meditate on these different planets. And like Prabhupada is saying, that Sukadeva Goswami knows exactly, he's exactly correct in the description, how to do the meditation. So it starts off with from the bottom, just like we're told that when we meditate on Radhe Shyam, one should start from his lotus feet. I'm guilty, I somehow don't do that, but that is the procedure. So here also, Sukadeva Goswami is saying to start from the bottom, and that's why he mentions Patal. Patal is in the bottom. Now, the thing is that for one to meditate on this, certainly one has to know what are these planets like. If you're going to meditate on something, you have to know. Is it flat? Maybe we'll have a controversy. Is it flat, or is it a globe? And I actually was asking Stacia Prabhu, by the way, what is our conception? Is the Earth flat, or is it? I know the universe is a globe, anda it describes. So that's the knowledge I have. I don't really know what it is, but I did. Do some research on these planets. So if any one of you are interested in meditating in this way, or at least we should know. All these sages who were sitting, you can imagine how elevated these sages were. They knew, like somebody didn't have to tell where's Patal Loka, you know. They know what is Patal Loka, they know Rasatala, Mala, you know, Atala, Vitala, whatever. They know it all. And so just for our understanding, I looked into what these planets are. So, the universe is divided into 14 planetary systems. Prabhupada has written in the purple right here. The earthly region wherein human beings dwell is called Bhurloka. Like we chant Agayatri, yeah? Om Bhur Bhuva Swa. So, Bhur, that's the earthly planet. Now, above this earthly planet, Bhurloka, where entities who are antarikshasthana, that is denizens of outer space, and madhyamasthana, which is denizens of planets between earth and heaven, that's where they dwell, including are the yakshas, and the chief of whom the yakshas chief is, do you know who it is? Kuvera, yeah. So Kuvera, and he's also the treasurer of the demigods. And we have the Kinnas and Kimpurushas, whose looks combine human and animal features. Rakshasas, fearsome man-eaters with magic powers. Vidyadharas, the angelic beings who fly in the sky without vehicles. Gandharvas, celestial musicians who subtly inspire earthly musicians. We know a lot of the Gandharvas are our second generation when they sing. Anyway, it's so beautiful. Then Apsaras, lovely dancing girls who concert with the Gandharvas and other handsome residents of heaven. The Charanas, the Siddhas, who are naturally endowed with all mystic powers. So you can see all these are above, where? Above the Bhuloka. So above Bhuloka is Swargaloka, above the Bhuva Loka is Swargaloka. And that's where the heaven of the karma devatas, or the 33 million demigods who are raised to heaven by pious karma performed by previous human births. So is this the earthly planet, Om Bhur Bhuva Swaha. So we're talking about Swaha, the Swargaloka. So that's where all the 33 million demigods reside. And all these demigods become human beings when the fruit of their good karma is exhausted. So we're aware of that. Now these three planets, there is mode of passion in there. But above these three lokas, there is planets of where there is mode of goodness. And that is Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka. That's where Lord Brahma resides in Satyaloka. Okay, so these are above the earthly planet. Now we're talking about the seven below the earthly planet. So the first region is Atala. It is ruled by a demonic scientist named Bala, who is master of many magical arts. And the residents of Atala, they seek happiness through intoxication and sexual excess. So we find those people here. The second region is Vitala, and it's an abode of Maya, that's right. And there's another, I can't read the diacritics, but something, Hakeshwara or something like that? Anybody knows? Oh, okay. He's an expansion of Shiva, and his consort is Bhavani Devi. So that's in Atala. The other region is Sutala. No, that is, sorry, Vitala. Now it's Sutala. Sutala, is we know, is ruled by Bali. And then the fourth region is Talatala. So these are the ones that are mentioned here now. Talatala. Talatala, where Maya Danava lives. And he is a preceptor of all magic, black magic. Now this demon, he's always materially happy because he's favored by Lord Shiva. But he cannot achieve any spiritual happiness anytime. Then the fifth region is Mahatala. And this is the abode of Kadru devatas, a brood of many-headed serpents born of Kadru, the wife of Kashyapa Muni. It is the abode of many hooded snakes, descendants of Kadru, who are always very angry. Despite their extreme ferocity, they always live in fear of Garuda. So this is Mahatala. The sixth region is Rasatala. And this is inhabited by the Daityas and the Danavas. They're envious of the demigods, and we know that sometimes they try to attack the Swargaloka, and they manage to do that. And the scribes, they reside in holes like snakes. Now, that's really bewildering. They reside in holes like snakes. So I guess the snakes must be really big, so the holes are really big for them to reside, or maybe they have subtle body, not sure. From birth, they are extremely powerful and cruel, and although they are proud of their strength, they're always defeated by Sudarshan Chakra. And when a female messenger, just another extra point for that, when a female messenger from Indra named Sharama chants a particular curse, the serpentine demons of Mahatala become very afraid of Indra. So I guess Indra uses her. And then the very bottom is Patal. Remember, our meditation starts from the very bottom, and that's Patal. Here resides the Nagaloka Adipatis, the lords of all the serpentine demons. And these demons, they bear effulgent jewels in their multiple heads that mysteriously illuminate the entire Bilaswarga realm. So remember, it's dark, there is no light, but they have such... We think we have, you know, those people who, when they're going in the mines and they have those thing that they wear?
Torch.
Yeah, torch. And so they can see everything, yeah? So I guess these serpents, they have these jewels, but they light up the whole Bilaswarga. That means all these seven planets, they light all of them by their thing. So you can imagine how, like, they're brighter than the sun, seems like. And it's called Bilaswarga, so it's lot of opulence there. So this is all the seven planetary systems. But below, the Bilaswarga is Pitriloka, and that's where the abode of Yamaraj is. I thought that's interesting, I never knew that. And this is a heavenly planet, place associated with Soma, the moon god. Near Pitriloka is Narkaloka. Okay, so that's where the sinners suffer hellish torment. So what we see in the fifth canto, that's like below all the seven planetary systems. I never knew that. That's why it's good to give class for Gatmika, so that you can study and then you get to know things that you never knew. So below that is, Narkaloka, and then below Narkaloka is the cosmic ocean known as Garbhodakash ocean. So in case you're going to meditate, you have some idea what this is. Now today's class was inspired by this sentence that Prabhupada writes that, but this does not imply that everything and anything in the vision of a materialist is a supreme personality. In other words, it's an exact science. Meditation, even for a materialist who will meditate on the Virat Rupa, it's a science. It's an exact science. Prabhupada writes that Sukhdev Goswami is exactly correct in the description. That's what science is, yeah? It's exact. And so Srila Prabhupada is making the point that it is a science. And we have to understand that it's not like anything, like whatever we want to meditate on. We want to meditate on the universal form, then, you know, everything, whatever you want is fine. No, it's not like that. And that also applies to bhakti yoga. People have some conception about bhakti yoga that, you know, it's all sentiment, you know, perform our love and however we want to give our love to, however we want to love God, we can do so. No, there is a process. For us devotees, we have been given this process by our Goswamis. Two scriptures that came to my mind as I was meditating is the books that are given by Rupa Goswami and Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. It's a complete science. He goes from verse to verse. How many verses are there? 11? In Nectar of Instruction, 11, yeah. So in 11 verses, he gives the whole science of devotional service, starting from Vachavega, controlling your mind, your tongue, then how to associate the dati pratiganati, how you associate, you have to associate with saintly people, and how you don't associate with non-devotees. It's a science. And then slowly he talks about getting initiation, and then he talks about the ultimate object of meditation, Govardhan, Radhakund, and like that. So it's a science. In 11 verses, he gives in nutshell what is the science of Bhakti Yoga. But then he also has Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That's like he gives science very detailed, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And I opened this book, which I haven't done that for a long time. This is by Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, verse by verse by Bhanu Maharaj. Prabhupada wrote, it's a summary of Nectar of Devotion. But when you look at this book, it's just amazing how scientific it is. I know when, coming from a science background, when I came to Krishna consciousness, I would read so many times, Prabhupada would say that this process is scientific. And I just loved it. I'm like, wow, it's scientific. It's non-sectarian. I just loved it. I even would sit down and read Sadaputta's book and kind of look at, wow, this is something that background I came from, and I was very happy. And then we go and do BTGs, and I would tell them Dehino Asmini Yathadhe is scientific, you know, it's from boyhood to youth. And then when you get a little more intelligent, then you start doubting the same things that you have accepted very easily, and you think, how does Prabhupada say it's scientific? I mean, I don't see it's scientific. How is it non-sectarian? We tell people to chant Hare Krishna. You know, so then those thoughts start coming like, But then, and I think this is just a way of purification, is helping us to go deeper. So initially you just accept everything, but then you start thinking, which in one sense it may be seen as negative, but if you keep yourself in the association of devotees, then they'll help you to see these doubts that come to your mind. And to realize that actually, yes, it's more you study Prabhupada's books and the Goswami's literature, you really see it's a real science. You have to follow the procedure, how to do it. I was thinking of how when, you know, the 4 years that I did live in India, I was in a boarding school, and we had a very nice chemistry lab. It was a Birla school. And those who know Birlas, their schools are so good. Everything was there, any kind of sports in our school, you know, and really nice chemistry lab. But the nicest part about chemistry lab was that you learn theory, and then you get to the lab, and then you have like the litmus test, you know, you put the little piece of paper and then it becomes blue or red or something like that, and you'd be like, wow, this is magic, you know, this actually happens, you know. And it's like this. This Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science that we have been given by our Goswamis, it's actually, you see that it works. If we follow it, it works. We may not see that it works. The other day, Radhikesh Prabhu saw Gora Das, my grandson, after some time, and he said, oh my God, he has grown so much. But, and that was maybe in 3 weeks or something, maybe he hadn't seen. And yeah, I didn't really see him grow, you know, like you don't see, you can't see when you're there with you every day, you don't see them grow. But they do grow. That's just how it works. And so we may not see ourselves growing, but we follow the process of what the Goswamis have given, what Srila Prabhupada has given. It works. So the first, it's not the first verse, but the 11th verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we're all aware of that. Just telling you about the science, how scientific this process is, and it's not whimsical. That's the point. I think Pran Govinda Prabhu was making that point on Saturday. This process is not whimsical. It's exact. It's precise. It's not whatever you want to do. There is a process to it. So the very first thing that Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, what is pure bhakti? So not that we whimsically think what is pure bhakti, you know. No. He specifically describes anya bhilashita. There's no other anya bhilashita. It's devoid of any other desire, of jnana, karma. It's devoid of anything, any of that, and is favorable to service to Krishna. He describes that. He gives that definition. Yeah, as I said, in a science, there's theory. So he's giving us theory. And then he gives us practice. So first of all, he defines what is bhakti. And then another verse. I just randomly chose a few verses. Then he describes from Narada. And what was amazing reading from Bhanu Maharaj's book, because there's each verse is there, so you see that where he's quoting from, where is Rupa Goswami quoting from? And it's amazing that he quotes from a lot of different scriptures of part of his book, and therefore Srinivas Acharya, he says, Nana Shastra Vicharane Kanipano Sadharma Samstapakao. He has Nana Shastra, he is expert, Nipuno, he's expert, not him, just Rupa Goswami, all the Goswamis, they're expert in all the scriptures. And by studying all the scriptures, they have given us the essence and established dharma samsthapaka. They have established what is dharma, what is bhakti. So here he quotes one verse from Narada Pancharatra and Sarva Padhivini Muktam Tatparatvena Nirmalam Rishikena Shikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. Bhakti is defined as service to the Lord using the senses. It should be done with the intention of pleasing the Lord, free of other desires and unobstructed by other processes. So when, the beauty is when Rupa Goswami says a verse, compiles a verse, I don't know if that's the right word, compiles or writes a verse, you know, then he always backs it up with Shastra. So the first verse that I mentioned, then he backs it up with what it says in the Narada Pancharatra. Again, what is this? This is a science. He's not speculating. And then another verse, he describes that he says is described in the third canto. So again, he's describing from the Bhagavatam, from Narada Pancharatra, the science that he talks about what is bhakti. Another verse. He describes from Padma Purana. We have heard that many times. Smartavya satatam Vishnu vismartavyo na jatu chit sarva vidhi nishedasyur etayos eva kinkara. So he's telling us, okay, there are rules and regulations, but the main rule, the main thing is to remember Krishna. And all other rules are servant, kinkara, of the first rule, which is satatam smartavyo Vishnu. Yeah, this is the science that Rupa Goswami has given to us. And so it's so important that we study these scriptures. So important that science is like a very difficult subject. Very difficult subject. You have to really think and study. But Prabhupada has given us the essence. So if we have the essence, then we go back to our Shastra, and then we can understand with that understanding. So we've been studying Srila Prabhupada's books for many, many years, and we know the essence. And here he mentions one of the things, essence that he mentions here, is service attitude. Service attitude. So that is, so even those who are materialists, who are going to meditate on Virata Rupa, they have to have a service attitude. And then they can come to Krishna. And similarly for ourselves, as we study these Shastras, as we follow these scriptures, we should have a service attitude. When we have a service attitude, then we can actually progress towards our spiritual goal that we're looking for. And to understand, again, bringing to the point that it's a gradual thing. The other day, just last week, I was in the Pujari room, and Nitai Priya, she's amazing. She always shares something, some nectar. She always does that. I mean, she's just an amazing devotee. I mean, I don't know how many years she's been doing this Pujari service for, and then for years, and apparently she was doing the Pujari service, taking her Pujari, even in Puerto Rico. And when Sesha Prabhu would go there, when he was doing his GBC work there, he would say that how Nitai Priya would be dressing deities. I think they also have Krishna Balaram, yeah? In Puerto Rico? Yeah, anyway, so she was dressing the deities there, and Narottam, little baby, was used to be sleeping in the temple room. So he'd bring Narottam in the temple room, and she would dress the deities. Anyway, so, plus she goes on book distribution, plus now she takes care of Keshava. But she was giving this nice little nectar that Indradumna Maharaj was telling her, I think, specifically, because he liked that she goes on book distribution. He says that the living entity makes progress in very small increments. Very small increments. So in other words, you go out and give a book, It's just that's a small increment that they take the book, and then it's just very small, and slowly we make progress. So even in our spiritual life, if we continue to follow the process that Prabhupada has given us, then we make that small progress. We continue to make that progress as we continue to follow this. And so the most important thing is that if we continue to follow and that is to study Prabhupada's books, to be in the association of devotees, to have a service attitude, then we will reach the goal. We will reach the goal. Just recently, Prabhupada Priya, when she was visiting India, Mayapur Dham, she brought a book for us by this Maharaj. I just know his name, Bhakti Bringa, from South Africa. What's his name, Prabhupada? Bhakti Brihad Maharaj? No. Bhakti Brihad Bhagavata Maharaj. Is that what it is? Okay, yeah? From South Africa. Anyway, so I wish I had brought that book, but and the title of the book was Kamala's Journey to Goloka Vrindavan. I'm like, wow, okay. How can somebody like come out and say that they went to Goloka Vrindavan? So anyway, naturally, and it's a nice small book, and I just read it, the whole thing, after she gave it to me at the Sunday feast. And describes this devotee, Kamala, forget her full name, that how she was just a very simple Vaishnavi. She, joined in 2009 or something. She got initiated by Giriraj Maharaj in 2016. But she always had a very nice service attitude. And it's not like she was living at the temple or anything. She was a married woman outside, you know. But her attitude was she had a very nice service attitude. And she followed what the Vaishnavas told her. And she served the Vaishnavas. She loved to cook for Giriraj Maharaj. She loved to cook for the devotees. She loved to serve them. And that was her service attitude. That was very pleasing. And so then she got cancer. And so what the interesting part is that when she got cancer, because I can't pronounce the name, BBBS Maharaj, he was there to help her. And so when he went to see her at the hospital, he just, the book that he had next to him was Vrajalila, you know, the book that was written by Dina Bandhu Prabhu, which describes the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. So he picked that book and he went to see her. And every day he would go and see her. And as he would read the book, he's such a good teacher. You know, we had a lot of association with him, him giving classes, and very gentle Vaishnava, and very much like a teacher. And so he would read a pastime, but then he would ask her, so who is here, who is cooking here? And she would say, Radha Rani. And like that, he would say something and then he would engage her, not just read to her, but engage her. And every day he would do that, read to her. And this is a devotee who has followed the process, who had a good service attitude, and just a simple Vaishnavi. And here this devotee, Maharaj, is helping her to go through the process and every day reading from pastimes of Krishna and helping her to remember. Till the very, very end, he was doing so. And that was her consciousness as she left the planet. She was engaged in hearing and expressing and thinking about the pastimes, and therefore he says Kamala's journey to Goloka Vrindavan. So we will also have our journey to Goloka Vrindavan. If we have the right attitude, Prabhupada is saying, service attitude, we have the right attitude, we try to follow the process. We hear about the process every day. Every person who comes here talks about the process. Every person who sits here encourages each other, each one of us, to follow the process. So to me it means I just stick in the association of devotees. Like Ghanshyam Prabhu gave such a nice class yesterday. He says, yes, there is this, that, or whatever, but you stay in the association of the devotees. Somehow or other, no matter what happens, we follow the process, we hear the pastimes, we hear the philosophy, and one day it will be so-and-so's journey back to Goloka Vrindavan. Yeah? So, anybody has any questions or comments on this subject matter? Raja Leela. I think that's what it's called.
Yes.
Yeah? By Dinabandhu Prabhu.
Yeah. Volume 1 and 2.
That's right, there are two.
So it mentions about one should have a service attitude in order to get some. So Srila Prabhupada pointed out one time how you'll have service attitude for the Virat Rupa. He said, all the cloth mills in the world don't have enough to dress.
It's good that you bring up that point, because I also thought about that, and I was thinking about the comment Prabhupada made. So I thought about that aspect about Virat Rupa, and so for my meditation on that word, service attitude, it was the attitude and not necessarily the service. So when we're meditating on Virat Rupa, we're thinking, I'm assuming that, I would think that what service attitude means is not that I'm going to lord it over the material planet, but you're doing in the mood of pleasing the Lord by meditating upon Him on the Virat Rupa. That's the response to your question. But just a thing that I just heard that was very interesting. Yesterday, it's so funny how Krishna arranges different things when you're reading something. But just yesterday we were reading in our family Lilamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita, and this described that when Prabhupada was in a Scottish Catholic church, I think it was in that one, that he was in two committees or two whatever clubs, and one was Sanskrit club. And I'm calling club, but I don't remember what it said. But he recited the Bhagavad Gita and described there in the Lilamrita that he was really praised and appreciated by the other students how he recited the Virat Rupa chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So just, I thought, I'd like to meditate on, as far as Virat Rupa, I would like to meditate on Prabhupada reciting the Virat Rupa rather than the Virat Rupa here. So for me, that would be my meditation, how Prabhupada recited so beautifully. Anyway, yes, Trivikram Prabhu, and then Divyanga Prabhu.
Hari Bol. I was thinking, let us say a scientist were to ask us, what part of the solar system are the low planets and the higher planets? I mean, how would we answer if a scientist were to access?
If the scientist wanted to access the lower planet systems, and
if he
wants to meditate on.
How would we explain what part of the solar system are these planets, the low planets and the high planets?
To be honest, that's just not my field. So I don't know the answer to that. I would just tell them, okay, read the fifth canto. I would just tell them that meditate on whatever you think, however the planetary system is, but meditate on that with service attitude. But no, that's definitely not my field. Yes, Divyanga Prabhu.
See it when they get there.
They can go to Patal Loka, but these are like heavenly planets. Bila Swarga, they're Swargas. It's interesting. They're still like, yeah.
I just wanted to add this. It took me a while to find it, but I knew I had it. Mm-hmm. The controversy of flat and round.
Mm-hmm.
This is Srila Prabhupada, if anybody's listening. Prabhupada quotes, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagaranda Koti Anda. It is round. Anda means egg-shaped. We never say flat. It is Shastra. Shastra never says flat. Then you must correct it. No, no, it is not flat. It is round. This is Shastra.
And this is for the universe, I'm assuming.
And Prabhupada says, the last sentence, he says, long, long years in the beginning, it was called round, Anda. Go Loka, go. Goloka, Burloka, Goloka means round. Any questions? It might be flat.
So if you want to meditate on the Virat Rupa, please meditate that all the planets are gol. Gol means round. Gol. Goloka. So get your meditation right. So thank you. Get it right. Just repeating what Divyanga Prabhu said, we don't need to fight, we just accept, hear what Srila Prabhupada said, it is round.
And we always have the choice, you need to take your guru or somebody else.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's a sign. So that's actually, Rupa Goswami says, one of the first things he says here is something about, well, you know that whole science. What is that? Adav Shadha Tatha Sadhu Sangha Tatha. But there's. Anyway. Yeah, something like that. He talks about Guru Ashraya. Yeah, what was that, Punarik Prabhu?
Yeah, that was Guru Padasraya, one of the 60 Guru Pasti.
Yes. Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Just a small note.
Uh huh.
God is both. Great and sweet.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When we actually focus on the greatness, Virat Rupa, how he created, how he really manifested so wonderful creation, it will naturally evoke our submission.
Mm.
That should be promoted.
Mm.
But our ultimate needs is not just submission. Submission is a halfway to awaken love. So we need to also sweet. Mm. So we need to submit ourselves, also hear the sweet pastime. Mm. Because greatness will evoke submission and sweet pastime will evoke affection for you.
That's very
we need both.
Very, very good. Very good point. Thank you, Pangavinda Prabhu. Very, very important point that you make, that your meditation on Virat Rupa, that Sukadeva Goswami is describing in full detail at the request of Maharaj Parikshit, will bring submission in the hearts of those who are taking to that process, which will bring the service attitude. And therefore Prabhupada says in the purports, you can't do that if you start off with the consciousness of lording it over. So if you're approaching that process with the lording it over, it just doesn't work. So there has to be some initial, at least initially, there should be some initial even feeling of submission, if you approach it with the attitude of lording it over, so then you're not going anywhere. And then the sweetness aspect, yes, so both things important.
I was thinking, like, if we just focus on majestic aspect, why am reverence,